بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our third session, reading from the Sharh of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasatiyah, the explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasatiyah by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, and the commentary by Al-Imam Abdul Aziz Ibn Abdul Ibn Baz, rahimahumullah. May Allah have mercy upon both of them. Before we start with tonight's lecture, which is the continuation of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah introduction to this book, before we continue with that, we're going to go over some of the matters that we discussed last week in the first part of his introduction from the modified questionnaire study guide, for lecture number 2. And last week we had a study guide that had some questions that we didn't cover, so it was modified, and I did send it out to whoever's email address we have. And the study guide that we have for tonight's class, on the other side of it, is the modified study guide. If anybody wants to look at the modified study guide, it's on the back of the study guide for tonight's class. Tayyib. I think everybody here has a book, right? Everybody here has a book? Been here before? Okay. So, if there's anybody here who needs a book, or if there's anybody there upstairs from the sisters area who needs a book, please let us know. Jaysh is here with us, he can help us. He's our Rasul ila Nisa, inshallah. Tayyib. So let us look at the questions for the modified questionnaire study guide. There were some questions added to it, or at least those questions were modified a little bit to fill it in. Alright, so the first question from last week's lecture number 2, how has the Sharih, yani the explainer of the original text, how has he defined Al-Huda and Deen Al-Haq? From the introduction of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. Naam. Al-Huda wa Deen al-Haq. What is your name?
Ahmed.
Ahmed. Okay, that's Ahmed. Where's Mahmoud?
Mahmoud over there.
That's Mahmoud? Okay. That's 2 I got anyway. Is there Isa?
No Isa.
Tayyib.
Al-Huda is beneficial knowledge.
Naam. Al-Huda is beneficial knowledge. Anybody want to add to that anything? He said 2 things. Beneficial knowledge is what is normally defined as by most of the scholars of the Sunnah. Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, mentioned 2 things. He said, al-ilm al-nafi, and he also said, Abdul Wali.
Beneficial knowledge and his righteous guidance.
Beneficial knowledge and al-akhbar al-sadiqa. Truthful information. Naam. Okay, deen al-haq. Somebody. Ahmed, fadda.
Righteous actions.
Righteous actions. Okay. Al-amal al-sadiq. That's how it's generally... Yani defined, how did Al-Imam Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz define it? Last week, his exact words. Yani normally the study guide, the questions in the study guide, for those of you who might be not familiar with it, are generally 90% of the time or more taken directly from the text of the book that we're reading from. Sometimes there may be a question based on some extra notes that I added, but most of the time it's directly from the book. So what was the definition that Al-Imam Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz gave for Deen al-Haq? Anybody can go back and look and see what he said. What is Deen al-Haq? Naam, Zakaria. Okay, Ashra'i al-Mustaqima al-Adila, or upright, just rulings. Just rulings. And he also added to that, he said? A couple other words? Min al-Awamir wal-Nawahi. Yani, those upright, just rulings, including al-awamir, the commands of Allah that we must obey, and the nawahi, the prohibitions that we must obey. So the regulations, the laws, yani the legislation that Allah sent, which includes commands and prohibitions, obeying Allah's commands and avoiding His prohibitions is very, very important in the definition of deen al-haq. It's very important that we understand there has to be obedience. Not just a person claims, I believe, but there has to be following the laws and obeying, yani what Allah has ordered us with and prohibited us from. Naam. Ismail, assalamu alaikum. MashaAllah, I didn't see you there. MashaAllah. Tayyib. Second question, what are 4 areas that the Sharih, yani the explainer of the text, that is Imam Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz, what are 4 areas that the Sharih mentioned as being included in Allah's statement, ikranan bihi, affirming this. And affirming this, he explained what he meant by explaining by affirming this. And he mentioned a lot of things, but there are four main things. Some of them are parts of one another. But four things that he identified. Affirming this means what? Directly from the book. Affirming this. That's very important, because in Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah's introduction, he says, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. And then he says, affirming this. Affirming what? يعني أقرار, يعني إقرارا به وتوحيدا. What does he mean by this? نعم. Affirming this. نعم. He mentioned four main areas. نعم.
That Allah is one in His essence.
Okay, that Allah is one in His essence. يعني His that. So we want to distinguish between the that, يعني Allah's that, and His asma wa sifat. That He is named by and that He is described by. نعم. His that. That's one. And His names and attributes. Okay, so that's a that, the that of Allah, His divine being, His essence. And then His names that He's named by, and His qualities or characteristics or descriptions that He's described with. Naam. Two. Three.
Nothing is unlike Him.
Nothing is like Him, similar to Him, equal to Him. That's part of the second category. Yani that He's one in His asma wa sifat. Another one. Takyif is... Did we come to that already?
No.
No, it's directly from the book. Directly from the book. He also said He is al-wahid fi what? Fi al-rububiyyah. Fi rububiyyatihi. Naam. And also He is al-wahid fi... That's rububiyyah, lordship. And He also said ilahiyatihi. Ilahiyatihi. So from this, it's easy to remember the answer to this question, and the reason why, and some of the questions are designed to make us to remember important matters. So from the important matters here is that the three general categories, generally, the Tawheed is divided into three categories or divisions. That is, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. Here he refers to it as Ilahiyyah, same thing. Uluhiyyah, Ilahiyyah, Ubudiyyah, Ibadah, all of that is the same Tawheed. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Tawheed al-Ilahiyyah, the way he mentioned here, Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. Those are the three general categories of Tawheed that most of the scholars refer to, sometimes divided into two categories, one of them including, yani two categories from this three. But he also mentioned one extra thing here, that's not generally mentioned, that makes four, and that's the reason for this question, for us to know that there's three categories of Tawheed, but there's also something else that Allah is one in. And that is the first thing that was mentioned, and that is what? What was the first thing that he mentioned? That somebody mentioned. Whoever answered the question first. Now. That's part of Tawheed Ilahiyyah. Okay, he actually says here, he goes back to, yani, he starts in the beginning by saying, Huwa wahid al-mustahiq lil-ibadah. And then later on, he goes back in that same statement, he says that he is al-wahid fi ilahiyyah. Ilahiyyah. Ilahiyyah is the same as what he's saying there, that he is one and alone in deserving ibadah. That's the same thing. Okay, لا يستحق العبادة سواه. That's إلهية, أنوهية, أبودية. So there's Tawheed or Rububiyya, His Lordship. That He is the Creator, the Owner, the Possessor, the One who controls everything. There's Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. That Allah is one. He is alone in deserving and being entitled to be described with these divine characteristics and qualities. And there's Tawheed al-Ilahiyya, He mentions it here as, or Uluhiyya. Or Ubudiyyah. That means that He's the only one that deserves worship. But there's one other thing that he mentioned. Before he mentioned those three things, he said, Huwa al-Wahid fi? In His essence. Fi Zatihi. Fi Zatihi. What is the meaning of that? What are we talking about here when we say Fi Zatihi? That's important because sometimes the translation doesn't give us much. And what does that mean in His essence? What does that mean? Naam, Imam.
There's not multiple gods.
There's not multiple gods. He's one divine being. And He has names, and He has qualities and characteristics, and He deserves alone to be worshipped. And He's the only one who is the Rabb, the Creator, and the Owner, and the controller of everything. So He is a single divine being. There's no other one divine besides Him, no other one that has these divine names and characteristics or qualities, entitled to be the Rabb al-Alameen, entitled to be worshipped. Anyway, this topic, inshallah, we're going to come back to it, you know, we'll see it again. But it's important that we at least know that the scholars have categorized yani Tawheed into different categories or divisions for us to understand different aspects of Tawheed. And from amongst them, the Shaykh is mentioning here, yani, is that he is yani al-wahid fi dhatihi. Okay, second question. Mention two things that one should begin dua and writings with. And he said that the Prophet ﷺ had guided the people who make dua to two things. Naam, somebody else. Who didn't? Okay, your name? Huh? Ahmed, Allahu Akbar. To praise Allah. Okay. To begin with praise and glorification of Allah. Mentioned in His, yani, oneness, His uniqueness. Naam, your name?
Adam.
Adam. That should be easy to remember. I knew there was an Adam somewhere. That's what I was saying. Isa, I meant Adam. Yes, Adam. Naam, Adam.
Sending salutations upon
the Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, praising and glorifying Allah. And sending out, acknowledging, recognizing the prophethood, the messengership of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and praying, making yani salat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naam. So it is considered to be mustahab. And when we say something is mustahab, we mean what?
It's liked.
It's liked. Okay. What else?
Recommended.
Okay. Huh?
You should do it.
Literally, what does it mean? Loved, it's beloved. Allah loves it. It's something that Allah loves. For that reason, it's liked or recommended or praiseworthy and commended because Allah loves it. So it's mustahab, yani according to the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ, it's mustahab that a person begins their dua and they begin yani their writings with praise and glorification of Allah and recognizing His wahdaniyya, that He is unique, alone. He's one and there's nothing like Him. He is unique. And also, recognizing the risalah, the messengership of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Question number 4. Mention two of the benefits. It says its benefits. That's a typing mistake. Mention two of the benefits of beginning dua and writing with the above two things: praising and glorifying Allah and making salat, asking for prayer, yani salat and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What are two benefits from them, Talib? It's one of the means of dua being accepted. And somebody else? Second thing? Naam?
It's from the adab of asking.
Okay, it is from the adab of asking. But the Shaykh mentioned, my answers have to come directly from the Shaykh. Yeah, answer is not, and it's not wrong, but it's not, I'm looking for what the Shaykh said. He said, huwa min asbab qabool ad-dua. And he said also,
wa min asbab at-tawfiq.
These are the two things that he mentioned. Sure, there are other things that could be said, but we're trying to study a book, and we want to see what did the author of the book say. Alright, so he said that it is from the means through which a person's dua would be accepted, would be responded to. And it's also generally from the means of a tawfiq, that a person will find success in whatever they're doing by beginning it with the praise of Allah and the acknowledgement of the messengership of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, making dua for him. Question number 5. What is the basis or source of the expression al-firqa an-najiya? And where did we get this title? The Shaykh mentioned al-firqa an-najiya several times, and then he mentioned something that we could derive this description from. What was it that he mentioned that we could derive this description from? All of you had your hands up before. Anybody who didn't have their hand up? Nobody? Okay, fadl. Ahmed.
The hadith.
The hadith. Which hadith? Pay attention, please, because it's very important hadith, very important point. Which hadith?
There's going to be 73 sects. The only one of them is correct, which is the Jama'ah.
Okay, he said that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that his ummah will be divided into 73 sects. And what did he say in that hadith? Or, hold it. No, it's from the hadith now, in which he mentioned the 73 sects. And the next question is, okay, that's part of it, yeah. So what did he say in that hadith? The 73 sects, and what about them, you said?
One of them is correct.
One of them is correct. Okay, that's true. One of them is correct, but that's not what he said. Yeah, but that's one of them is correct. You're good, but what is the wording of the hadith? Ummah will divide the 73 sects? Huh?
They all would be in the hellfire.
They all would be in the hellfire? Huh? Except one, he said. Except one. Illa wahida. Except one. When they asked him, which one is that? Who is that? That is the exception. Then he gave two answers, that's the next question. But first I want to stop here just for a minute. All of them will be in the fire except one. How does that give us al-firqa al-najiyah? Where do we get that description from that hadith? And what does al-firqa al-najiyah mean? Huh? Not victorious. Al-Mansura. You're talking about Taif al-Mansura. Naam.
Save sect.
Save sect. So how do we get save sect from that hadith? Huh?
Because everyone else is in the fire.
Because everybody else is going to be in the fire except one. It's going to be saved from the fire. That's how we get 73 sects in the fire. All 73 sects divided into 73 sects. All of them will be in the fire, but except illa wahida. One of them will be saved from the fire. That's the sect that is saved. Al-Firqa al-Najiyah. Okay, so it's important to understand these descriptions that the scholars of Sunnah use. Where do they come from? What is the basis of it? What do they mean? And the meaning here of saved sect is really important because it means everything. It means that there are some people that are going to be saved from the fire. Isn't that what it's all about? I mean, that we're trying to be saved from the fire. We want to be saved from the fire. That's what it's really all about. So this is very, very important. And in the end of the Risala, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah comes back to this and mentions this again. I think the Shaykh may give a broader description or discussion about it at that time. The next question is, mention the two answers given by the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith as to who al-Firqa al-Najiyah refers to. Who does it refer to? The first answer he gave was what? First he said, Naam?
Al-Jama'ah.
What do we mean by al-Jama'ah? We didn't discuss that, right? Okay, no problem. We mean, that generally, we mean al-Jama'ah means the group, the people who gather together, who unite upon the truth, and who are following the path of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. Yani the Jama'ah, the people who came together, they're not divided, split up, fighting each other, yani attacking each other, working against each other. They are united upon the truth. And the second answer he gave? Same hands, mashallah. Barakallah fikum. Tayyib on this side, Zakaria. Ma'ana alayhi wa ashabi. Meaning? Huh? Somebody else, what does that mean? Ma'ana alayhi wa ashabi.
Whatever I am on and my friends.
That which I am upon and my ashab. What does ashab mean?
Companions.
Yani the companions, the sahaba. With that which I am upon, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. Because his companions are upon the path he's upon. And what he's saying here is that, don't exclude my companions. They are examples and model for us to follow. And this is what's required from the Ahl Sunnah, that they follow the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and the example of his companions. They are not excluded from this. Like the deviant people say, well, they're just men and we are men. Yeah, they are men, that's true, but you are not like them. You're not like them. And Allah is pleased with them. He said that. And they are pleased with him. He didn't say he's pleased with any of us. Fine, the last question, what are the usul, fundamentals or foundations which the Aqeed of Ahl Sunnah stem from? What are the foundations, yani the usul, which the Aqeed of Ahl Sunnah stem from? That was the last thing that we read last week. Abdul Wali.
Six pillars of faith.
The six pillars of faith, the arkan of Iman. He referred to them as al-usul al-sitta. He said, he mentioned that their Aqeedah is Iman in Allah and the angels and the books and the messengers and the last day or the resurrection after death and the divine decree is good and is evil. He said, Aqidatu Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah tatafarra'u min hadihi al-usul al-sitta. We commonly refer to them as al-arkan al-sitta, the six pillars of Iman. Arkan al-Iman al-sitta. Here he referred to them as usul al-sitta because what it means, these are the six fundamentals, foundations that all of the Aqeedah comes from. Alright, so these are the foundations. We need to know them well. The Shaykh just mentions them in passing in a brief discussion that we're going to talk about today, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And these are things that entire books, like a whole book has been written on every one of these. Six, yani, pillars of Iman. So there's a lot to discuss there. The Shaykh just gives us a passing mention. And this is a reminder to us that these are things that we need to know, not just the names of. And there's believing in Allah and believing in... What does that mean, believing in Allah? What does it mean, believing in the angels? What does that mean, believing in the revelations? And we need to actually have some greater knowledge of these things. And this person should go out of their way to... Since we only mention it in passing here, go out of your way and find some books from the recognized, known scholars of past or present and try to make sure that we understand these are the foundations of Islam, everything that we believe in. are stem from, are derived from them. So you have to know the roots, the foundations, in order to know what comes from it. Okay, we're going to be reading from page 12 in the Arabic, from the top of the page, and we're going to be reading in English from page, I don't know, help me, somebody open a book. Huh? Page 9. Alright, so last week, this first paragraph here at the top is the thing that we read last. So we're going to start with that again, and then we're going to read the Sheikh's brief commentary on each one of these six pillars of Iman. And hopefully we'll find some points that we had forgotten about, or some points that maybe we didn't know about, or that we didn't understand. Or if we remembered all of it and we understood all of it, then it's just a murajah. And we need to be doing that all the time, right? Tayyib. Before I go any further, let me just stop here because I know I'll forget. I want to say two things. Number one, I commend the brothers and sisters who came out in the rain today. And this is not a high bar, this is a low bar. But, yani, alhamdulillah, some people, if it rains, they don't come to the masjid. Not to pray, to learn, or anything. But if it rains, they don't stay home from work. If they're giving out, yani, discount prices on the latest iPad, or PlayStation, or some other whatever, some new sneakers that came out, they go out in the rain, snow, whatever. This is something that's really important. Like, we have to, it's important. And learning is important. Seeking knowledge of our deen is important. It's really important. And if it means going out in the rain, so what? Hey, what does the rain kill anybody? And generally it doesn't, right? Unless it rains for 40 days and 40 nights or something like that. So, yani, making the effort to come out is really, really important. As for me, my view is that, yani, we shouldn't, if something is beneficial, we should never be stopped by something like rain or cold or something like that. That's not a legitimate reason to stay home. That's not a legitimate reason to stay home. And we have to be consistent. It's very important to be consistent. I believe that it's essential. If a person is serious about doing anything, they have to be consistent with it, whatever it is. And if learning is important, we have to be consistent in it. Tayyib, the other thing I wanted to mention is, let us not forget about the Muslims in Palestine, and any place in the world where the Muslims are being slaughtered and oppressed and murdered. Let us not forget that their condition is an ongoing condition. It's not something that we talk about one time, or we make dua for them one time and then we forget about it. And we go about with our business, and he's seeking the things that we want to enjoy in life, and we forgot about them. I'm saying, please, may Allah help us to remember to do what we can do, and at least there's nobody that can't make dua, sincere dua. So, where we left off last week is on top of, in Arabic, on top of page 12 and page 9 in the English translation, وَعَقِيدَتُهُمْ هِيَ الْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُولِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَفِي رِوَايَةِ أُخْرَى الْبَعْثِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ وَبِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ وَعَقِيدَةُ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ تَتَفَرَّعُ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأُصُولِ السِّتَّةِ. Yani, their aqidah, the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, it is believing in Allah and His angels and His books, His revelations and His messengers. It's clear that the pillars of Iman, the foundation, the asul of the usul, is believing in Allah. And it's clear that the other foundations come from there, because they are what? Believing in His angels, Allah's angels. Believing in Allah's books, in His messengers, and in the last day when He will, yani, judge the people. Or in another narration, the resurrection after death. That people will die, the angels and the jinn will die, and they will be resurrected, and they will be, and he called to account. وَبِالْ قَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. And believing in the divine decree, it's good and it's evil. And in the end of this book, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah has a small chapter dealing with the belief in the divine decree, it's good and it's evil, and the levels of it, the four levels of this Iman in the Qadr. So we're going to come back to that near the end now.
Like you said, the angels and the
jinn
would die
because... I'm sorry. The jinn and the human beings. Wake up, brothers. Sisters can't bring to our attention, but brothers, no excuse for you. Please, when the old man sometimes loses focus, Bring them back, huh? Now, Zakallah khair, alhamdulillah. It's very, very important. One of the benefits of Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di, and Imam al-Sa'di, one of the benefits that I read from him that's really, really important, he said that if a teacher encourages his students to correct him if he's wrong, respectfully, in a respectful manner, this will help him to be careful what he says. Because he knows he can't say anything, except that if he says something wrong, somebody's going to correct him. I don't mean wrong like just a mistake on the tongue. I mean, he says something that's wrong. And the people know that's wrong, but they're afraid to say anything. And we should never be afraid to correct what's wrong. But, yani, if you're correcting an old man, be respectful. Because old people have some, yani, rights, right? From their rights is that they're respected. But we respect all Muslims, but I'm just saying like that. So this is really important that, you know, we try to do corrections as they come. And don't wait till later, because later we might forget, or people might leave or whatever, and then it's lost. Tayyib, believing Allah and His angels and His books, and His messengers in the last day, and the resurrection after death, and believing the divine decree is good and is evil. Wa aqidatu ahli sunnah wal jama'ah. So the creed of the ahli sunnah wal jama'ah, it stems from, it branches out from these six fundamentals or foundations. The first of them is al-iman billahi. Al-iman billahi. And it's first because it's most important. Yadkhulu fihi al-iman billahi. I think it's a printing mistake. It's probably yadkhulu fi al-iman billahi. Al-iman bi-annahu bi-anna allaha wahidun la sharika lahu. Allah knows best. Yadkhulu fil iman billahi. What enters into or is a part of iman in Allah is al-iman بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ وَاحِدٌ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. So the first thing that is a part of believing in Allah is believing that Allah is one. Yani He is alone. He is unique. There is nothing, no one like Him. لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. And He has no partner, no one that He shares anything of His exclusive rights with. He doesn't share it with anyone. And here, I want to just note, بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ وَاحِدٌ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. He's واحد, لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. فِي أَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ فِي رُبُوبِيَّتِهِ فِي أُنُوهِيَّتِهِ. يعني, in all of this, He's one, He doesn't have any partner in any of these aspects of التوحيد. وَبِأَنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ أَرْسَلَ الرُّسُلَ وَأَنزَلَ الْكُتُبُ وَشَرَعَ الشَّرَائِ. And also iman, also, a part of iman in Allah is al-iman bi-annahu subhanahu arsala rusul. Believing that He, the one who is, yani free of any imperfection, He sent messengers. Yani part of believing in Allah is believing that He sent the messengers. Believing that He sent the messengers. Wa anzala al-kutub. And also part of believing in Allah is believing that He sent down, He revealed the books, the revelations. This is also part of believing in Allah. وَشَرَعَ الشَّرَاعِ. And also part of believing in Allah is that He is the one who legislated the laws, the regulations that we have to live by. So all of this is a part of believing in Allah. Believing in Allah includes believing that He's one, that He's alone, that He's unique, and He doesn't have anyone that shares with Him any of His exclusive rights. Also believing in Allah is having iman that He is the one who sent the messengers. And believing that He is the one who revealed the books. And believing that He is the one who legislated the laws, the legislations. يَدْخُلُ فِيهَا أَرْكَانُ الْإِسْلَامِ الْخَمْسَةِ. So in that which He has legislated, a part of that are the five pillars of Islam. The five pillars of Islam. And then He says, الصَّلَاةُ وَالزَّكَاةُ وَالصِّيَامُ وَالْحَجُّ دَاخِلَةٌ الإيمان بالله. يعني meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, part of believing in Allah is believing that he legislated the laws, and part of that, يعني part of what He legislated are the five pillars of Islam, including the salat and the zakat and the siyam and the hajj. All of this is included in iman in Allah. So what else is included in the five pillars of Islam that He didn't mention here? Five pillars of it, huh? Shahadatan. I guess it goes without saying. That's automatic, right? Can't be Muslim without the two testimonies of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And then He says, بأنه هو الواحد الأحد يعني الإيمان بأنه هو الواحد الأحد المستقل بالعبادة. So here this is a more specific mention of what he mentioned in the beginning. The first thing that he said that's included in Iman in Allah is Iman بأنه بأن الله واحد لا شريك له. واحد لا شريك له. So the details of that, لا شريك له, from the details of that, that there's no partner with him in any of these things, is that he is الواحد الأحد المستقل بعبادة. And that he is one, alone, unique, the one who is separate and alone in deserving worship. He is alone in deserving worship. وهو الذي شرع الشرع, he mentioned that already. He is the one who legislated the laws. فشرع الصلاة والزكاة والصيام والحج وسائر الأحكام. So he is the one who legislated the prayers and the charity and the fasting and the hajj and the remaining ahkam, laws or rules or regulations. So this is a quick summary of what al-Iman billahi includes. Most importantly includes that he is one and he is alone and he is the only one who deserves the worship and he is the only one who has the right to yani being identified or acknowledged for his rububiyyah and his uluhiyyah and his asma wa sifat and all that that entails. Point number two, the second pillar of Iman. وَالْإِيمَانِ بِالْمَلَائِكَةِ يعني he's saying here that the aqidah of the Ahl Sunnah includes these six pillars of Iman. The first of them is Iman Billahi and the second of them is الإيمان بِالْمَلَائِكَةِ. Having Iman in the angels يعني الإيمان بكل من سمى الله في كتابه أو جاء في السنة الصحيحة. This means having Iman in every one whom Allah has named in His book, or it came in the authentic Sunnah. And the use of the word here, as Sunnah Sahiha, is extremely important. As Sunnah as Sahiha. He didn't just say in the Sunnah, because what is the point that he's bringing out here by adding this description to the Sunnah? And is there Sunnah that's not Sahiha?
Yes.
Naam. Naam, there are things that are attributed to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that are not authentic. So what we're talking about here is that which has been mentioned in As-Sunnah As-Sahihah, the authentic narrations that have been proven and confirmed for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because we will see that there are things that are narrated that are not Sahihah. And so we have to be careful from that. We can't just say it's in a hadith. Yani hadith where? It's in Abu Dawud, yeah? Is it every hadith in Abu Dawud is Sahih? No. So it's important that we make this distinction. It's really, really important. This is fundamental. The Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah pay attention to the authenticity of what has been attributed to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We don't just accept anything because somebody said he said it. No, we have to know, is it really confirmed or not? So he says, yani, believing in whoever has been mentioned in his book, the Qur'an, and that which came in the authentic Sunnah. فَإِنَّ أَهْلَ السُّنَّةِ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. So in that, whatever has been mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His book and came to us in the authentic Sunnah, then the Ahli Sunnah believe in it. من جبرائيل وميكائيل وإسرافيل وملك الموت وخازن النار وغير ذلك. So we believe in جبرائيل or جبريل and ميكائيل and إسرافيل and ملك الموت. ملك الموت meaning the angel of death, who's appointed to take the souls of the people at the time of death. وَخَازِنْ النَّارِ, the one who is the guardian over the hellfire, and other than that. And he's mentioned some examples of some of the angels. And here I just want to take a quick note and say that, yani, it's important to know that he mentions Jibrail and Mikael and Israel first because of their importance. Because each of these angels has a very important task or assignment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jibrail is the one who I'm asking, who brings the revelation, yani, which is the source of life for the hearts. And Mikael is the angel who is responsible for the rain and the growth in the earth. And that means the one who brings life to the earth. And Israfil is the one who blows the horn, yani, bringing life to the dead at the time of resurrection. So each of these angels has a very important assignment that's all related to life. Life of the heart, life of the growth on the earth, and life of the dead at the time of resurrection. And they are the most important angels. And there are lots of other angels, yani that are known or unknown. He said, Malak al-Maut, and Khadim al-Nar, or غير ذلك. فَجَمِيعَ الْمَلَائِكَ All of the angels. مَنْ فُصِّلَ آمَنُوا بِهِ مُفَصَّلًا وَمَنْ أُجْمِلَ كَحَمَلَةِ الْأَرْشِ وَالْكَرُوبِيُّونَ وَغَيْرِهِمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهِمْ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ مُجْمَلِينَ Yani all of the angels. Those who are mentioned in detail, we believe in them, in the details that have come with them. And in some of these angels, we know details about them. About Jibreel alayhi salam. Or, yani the other angels. We know some details about them, then we believe in those details. That came in the Quran or came in the authentic sunnah. Those that are mentioned just generally, without any detail, then we believe in them in general, without detail. And we might not know the details about them. So we believe, yani, in those who are mentioned in general without detail, like those who hamalat al-arsh, who carry the arsh of Allah. Al-karubiyun. And he says later on that they are those who surround or encompass the arsh. وَغَيْرِهِمْ and other than them. يُؤْمِنُوا بِهِمْ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ مُجْمَلِينَ Those that are mentioned in general, we believe in them in general. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِأَنَّ لِلَّهِ مَلَائِكَةٌ مِنْهُمْ حَمَلَةِ الْأَرْشِ وَمِنْهُمْ الْكَرُوبِيُّونَ الَّذِينَ يَحْتَفُونَ بِالْأَرْشِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَتَعَاكَبُونَ فِينَا وَمِنْهُمْ الْمَلَائِكَةُ الْمُوَكَّلُونَ بِنَا وَمِنْهُمْ جِبْرِيلُ وَمِيكَائِيلُ وَإِسْرَافِيلُ إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِمْ جَمِيعًا He said, so we believe that that Allah has angels, and from amongst them are the Hamalat al-Arsh, those who carry the Arsh of Allah, and from them are the Karubiyun, yani he said, those who surround the Arsh. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَتَعَاكَبُونَ فِينَا And those who alternate, who come and go in succession with the human beings. And Allah mentions the Surah Al-Ra'd, 13th Surah, 11th Ayat, وَلَهُ مؤقبات من بين يديه ومن خلفه يحفظونه من أمر الله So also the human being, he has, yani, from the مؤقبات, yani those angels who come in succession, yani who are before him and behind him, protecting and preserving him by the command of Allah. And from amongst them are the angels who are appointed to the human beings to accompany them and to record their deeds. المُوَكَّلُونَ بِنَا And from amongst them is Jibreel and Mikael and Israfil and other than them. The Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِمْ جَمِيعًا Believe in all of them. وَأَنَّهُمْ عَبِيدٌ لِلَّهِ And we also believe that they are abid, yani slaves of Allah, worshippers of Allah. And I don't want to argue over the words, but I prefer to use the word worshippers, and the reason why I prefer to use it in certain contexts, yani in certain times when it's mentioned, is because there's a difference between being an abid and being a abd. An abid is a slave. An abd is a slave, and an abid is one who willingly is a slave to Allah, who worships Allah willingly. And there's a difference between the one who worships Allah willingly and the rest of the people, everybody is a slave of Allah. Everything in the creation is a slave of Allah. And some of them choose not to worship Allah. But those who choose to worship Allah are the abid, the one who has chosen to worship Allah. And Allah knows best. Yani, here obviously he's not saying that the angels are just yani in submission to Allah, in subservient to Allah. Rather, yani they are his worshippers. وَأَنَّهُمْ عَبِيدٌ لِلَّهِ كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بَلْ عِبَادٌ مُكْرَمُونَ لا يسبقونه بالقول وهم بأمره يعملون. يعني so here he said that they are the ibad, the worshippers who are honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they don't go ahead of him with speech. That means that they don't say anything related to Allah's kingdom and his control and his sovereignty. They don't say anything before he speaks. Rather, they just follow and they just obey. This is from Surah Al-Anbiya, 21st Surah, 26th and 27th. Then he says, كَمَا ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَهُمْ خَيْرُ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ. And then he says, yani this is how Allah has mentioned them, as the honored, yani slaves of Allah, worshippers of Allah. He said, this is as Allah has mentioned them, and they are the best of the ibad of Allah. They are the best of the worshippers of Allah, the angels. And then he says, لكن أهل السنة والجماعة يرون أن المؤمنين من البشر أفضل منهم بإجماع أهل السنة أن المؤمنين من البشر أفضل منهم لأنهم مكلفون مبتلون بالشهوة فهم أفضل من هم أفضل من هذه الحيثية إذا آمنوا واستقاموا. Okay, I want to stop here for a minute and try to look a little bit carefully at what is he says here. He said that they are the best of the worshippers of Allah, the angels. And then he says, however, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah hold the view that the believers from amongst the human beings, أفضل منهم, are better than them, better than the angels. بإجماع أهل السنة, by the consensus of the Ahl Sunnah, that the believers from amongst the human beings are أفضل منهم. أن المؤمنين من البشر أفضل منهم. لأنهم مكلفون مبتلون بالشهوة. And he says, why he's saying that? Because the human beings are made to be responsible. And you are given responsibilities that they will be called to account for. And they are also tested and tried with shahwa, with desires. Unlike the angels. The angels are not tested. They don't have shahwa. But they're tested to maybe follow their desires or to do something even though they may know it's wrong. They are not tested with that. So he said, for whom afdalu min hadihi al-haythiyya. So what is the summary of this, what he says here? Yani the angels are better or the human beings are better? With some explanation. Huh? Human beings. Why are the human beings better? Because we're tested with desire and the angels are not. So somebody tell me conclusively, better that you read it from Arabic, because in English you might be yani thrown off a little bit. Are the angels better or are the human beings, the believing human beings, better? Absolutely. Okay, I'll give you the first shot. The believing humans are better. Absolutely. Categorically. Believing, obedient. Amanu wa staqamu. Yani those who believe and are upright upon it. Naam, Abdul Wali.
At this present moment, the angels are better. But after those who receive glad tidings and make it to Jannah, inshallah, everybody in this room, they will be better than the angels.
Okay, you're looking at it now from in the end, what's going to happen, huh? Right now we're talking about, right now. Are the angels better or are the human beings better because they're tested and because they are yani held responsible for certain duties? Zakaria. You had your hand up before, I don't know, maybe you don't have it up now. The brother next to you does have his hand up now. Ahmed. Ahmed? Ahmed and Ahmed. Where's Adam? Got you. Go ahead. We are better. Okay, so I want to challenge this position that you all have taken here for a minute. Yes, brother. Yusuf, right?
Yeah, Yusuf. Are we speaking to that?
And nobody even reminded me that his name is Yusuf. That just came to me, mashallah.
Are we speaking that someone has a complete faith?
No, we're talking about the people who amanu wa staqamu. They believed and they were upright upon that iman.
That commit also sins. Like
people who believe in upright commit sins, right? Are there people who don't commit sins? Everybody commit sins. Kulli bani Adam. Okay, so what I want to say then, in the English translation, this point is not made clear. It's definitely not made clear. It seems as though it's saying that the human beings, because they are tested and because they are made responsible, so therefore they are better. But actually the Shaykh says, the human beings, yani, أَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and this is one of the benefits of Arabic. But sometimes we read a translation and it may leave out something. That could be critical because it really changes the meaning here. أَنَّ المؤمنين من البشر أفضل منهم. They are better than the angels. Why? لأنهم مكلفون مبتلون بالشهوة. Shahwa. They are better than them because they are made responsible and called to account. And because they are tested with the following of desires. فهم, then the Shaykh Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Baz said, فهم أفضل من هذه الحيثية. من هذه الحيثية. Just from this aspect, from this perspective, yani from this perspective, if we consider this aspect that the human beings are made responsible and called to account for, and they're also tested with desires, from that aspect, if you look at it from that angle, then the human beings are better. From that angle. That's not mutlaq. That's not absolute. That's from that consideration. From that consideration. Also, he says here, at the end of the sentence, he says, إِذَا آمَنُوا وَاسْتَقَامُوا. And that's also very, very important. Although the translator included that in the beginning of the sentence. So it's there. But yani it's very important to note, what is the meaning of that? إِذَا آمَنُوا وَاسْتَقَامُوا. I think Yusuf was trying to allude to that when he said, hey, if they believe or sin and stuff like that. So the Shaykh is saying, with the condition, not the human beings in general, but the condition that they actually believe in Allah. And then they act upon it. They're upright upon it. They follow it. They adhere to it. Then from this aspect, from this angle, then they're better than the angels. And anyway, this is a long discussion, but I just wanted to kind of like bring out a little bit how the Shaykh used certain words, and those words are critical to pay attention to. And we can't just skip over some important words. Okay, that's the end of the angels. Then on the top of page 13 in English, on page, what page are we on in English? Angels, page 10. Angels, books. Kutubihi, yani wa kutubihi, yani al-iman bi kutubihi. And also, yani, from the fundamentals that the aqid of Ahl Sunnah stems from or branches out from, is having iman in his books. His revelations, the revelations that he sent down to the messengers. He just says concerning كَذَلِكَ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِكُتُبِ اللَّهِ الْمُنَزَّلَةِ عَلَى الرُّسُلِ جَمِيعًا. Yani that Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah believe in the books of Allah that He has sent down, that He revealed to the messengers, all of them. All of them. In all of the books. And here I want to note that we believe in the books that Allah sent down. Notice he said, Kutubullah al-Munazzala. The books that Allah sent down. Not the books that the people have today saying, this is yani from God, this is from a prophet or whatever. No, the books that Allah sent down. We believe in all of them. As far as what they have today, that's a different matter altogether. Old Testament, New Testament, whatever, Torah, all that stuff is corrupted and polluted. But we believe in what Allah revealed. All of them. Jami'an. He said, ma'arafuhu amanu bihi. Whatever they knew from those books, yani the believers, Ahlu Sunnah Jama'ah, they believed in it. Kattawrah wal Injil wal Zubur wal Quran. Like the Torah and the Gospel and the Psalms and the Quran. And of course, I already noted, right? That which Allah has revealed. That which Allah, not the Psalms that they have today. Not the Gospel that they have today. Or the Gospels. Like how many of them? So many. Gospels. No, but the God, the Injil that Allah revealed to Isa alayhi salam. We believe in all of them. The ones that we know, we believe in them. وَمَا لَمْ يَعْرِفُوا آمَنُوا بِهِ مُجْمَلًا. And those that we don't know about, yani the revelation that Allah sent the message that we don't know about, that haven't been named in the Quran or came to us in the authentic Sunnah, then we believe in them in general. Yani we know that other books, revelations were sent, and we believe in them as well. And here I want to just mention, the Shaykh mentions Torah, Injil, Zabur, Quran. Are there any other revelations that we know? Are there any other revelations that we know other than the Torah and the Injil and the Zabur and the Quran? Naam, Zaki. No, the ones that we know every prophets, they receive messages, but are there any ones that we know that there's a Torah? We know that there was an Injil. We know that there is Quran. Is there any other book that we know? Naam, ya Imam. Surah of Ibrahim, wa Musa. Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen said, so there are six that we know. Some scholars said that the Suhuf Musa is the Torah. So in that case, it would be five. But those who say that they are not the same, then he said there are six. So here we have mentioned four Suhufi Ibrahim, Suhufi Musa mentioned in the Quran. So either the Suhuf of Musa is the same as the Torah, or it's not. Some scholars said it's the same, in which case there will be five. Some scholars said they're not the same, in which case there are six. He says this is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hadid, 57th Surah, 25th Ayat, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعْهُمْ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمِيزَانِ. Yani indeed we have sent our messengers with the clear proofs, and we have sent down along with them الْكِتَابِ وَالْمِيزَانِ, the book and the balance. And the scholars of Tafsir say Al-Kitab means the Kutub. Yani the messengers that were sent, Allah says He sent down with them Al-Kitab, meaning the books, the revealed books that He sent them with. And this is the proof that we believe, yani in all of the books that were sent down with all of the messengers, those that we had mentioned in the Quran and those that are not mentioned in the Quran. He says, فَأَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ أَنزَلَ كُتُبًا على الرسل وأنها حق وأن كتبه من كلامه جل وعلا ومنها التوراة والإنجيل والزبور والقرآن من جملة الكتب التي أنزلها. So he says the أهل السنة والجماعة, and this is the core of يعني what the Shaykh is saying about the revelations, أهل السنة والجماعة believe that Allah sent down books to the messengers. Some of them are mentioned in the Quran, some of them are not. He said, we also believe that they are the haqq, that all of what Allah sent down is the truth. All of it is the truth. وَأَنَّ كُتُبَهُ مِنْ كَلَامِهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى, and that His books are His speech. That His books are His speech. And what Allah revealed is from the kalam of Allah, from the speech of Allah. And perhaps yani this subject might come up again and we go into further detail, but the point is that the revelations of Allah are from His speech. From the speech of Allah. So Allah speaks. He spoke and He speaks whenever He wills. And this is something that we're going to talk about speech a little bit in this book here, when Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah talks about the sifat of Allah that are mentioned in the Quran or confirmed in the authentic Sunnah. Naam Abdul Haq. We don't normally take questions during the class. I usually only ask the questions, but go ahead. Just one time, inshallah. The balance, the mizan, yani the mizan is used to balance the scales, yani to judge, to weigh, yani to distinguish. Naam. He said, so we believe that these books are the truth and that they are the speech of Allah, and that from them is the Torah and the Injil and the Zabur and the Quran, and these are from amongst, yani the books which Allah sent down. Next he says, وَرُسُلِهِ كَذَلِكَ يعني وَالْإِيمَانِ بِرُسُلِهِ كَذَلِكَ, and also having iman in his messengers, and likewise also having iman in his messengers. So the shaykh in his explanation here is brief as in the previous points. يُؤْمِنُ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ بِالرُّسُلِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ أَرْسَلَ الرُّسُلَ مِنْ أَوَّلِهِمْ نُوحٍ ومنهم آدم عليه الصلاة والسلام فهو رسول إلى ذريته إلى آخرهم محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام كلهم حق وكلهم بلغوا رسالات الله كلهم بعثوا ليدعوا الناس إلى توحيد الله وطاعته وينذرونهم الشرك والمعاصي كلهم من أولهم آدم إِلَىٰ آخِرِهِمْ مُحَمَّدْ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. So here, yani the Shaykh is saying something that does require yani some examination. I hope, how many people already read this chapter before we came to class? Previewed it. One, two, come on, raise some more hands. No. Allahu Akbar. And last week, I'm sure that I mentioned, and my memory is not that good, so if I'm wrong, I'll stand to be corrected. It's okay, you can correct me. But I'm sure I mentioned last week the importance of previewing the lesson before you come to class. Is that correct? Did I mention it?
Yeah.
Wallahi, it's important. Yani, it's important to me because, like, why are we here? Like, we all came, mashallah, left our homes, our families, our children, whatever, yani, so that we can benefit. One of the best ways to benefit is that we have to preview. We have to preview the lesson before we come. And inshallah, review it. again after we leave. Let me take questions at the end. So, what is the issue here that is a problem for whoever looked at it or just now thought about what we just said? Or let me just read the English. I'm sorry, I didn't translate. That Allah sent the messengers. From the first of them is Nuh alayhi salam, and from them is Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. He, Adam alayhi salam, is a messenger to his descendants. And to the last of them, yani from the first of them, Nuh, and to the last of them, Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, all of them are truthful. All of them delivered the messages of Allah. And all of them were sent or missioned to call people to the Tawheed of Allah and to His obedience and to warn them against shirk and sin. All of them, from the first of them, Adam alayhi salam, to the last of them, Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. What's the issue here in what the Shaykh said? What is the issue here that I want to us to pay attention to? What did he say here? But you have to be paying attention carefully, okay? If you didn't pay attention, yani, Naam, help me. Know your name first.
Mahmoud.
Allahu Akbar. Mahmoud. Naam, Mahmoud. Ahmed and Mahmoud. All those go together.
And Adam.
And Adam, yeah, but Mahmoud and Ahmed are this from the same meaning. Naam. Mahmoud. Listen carefully to what he's saying.
He said the first of the messengers was Nuh.
He said the first of the messengers was Nuh, alayhi. And then he said? And from among them is Adam, who was sent to his, and he was a messenger to his descendants. And did he say anything else that you noted? And then he said, and the last of them was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naam, Ahmed.
The reason why I said it like that is because at the time Nuh alayhi salam, they were the first people that should have came to them.
Okay, the reason why he says that because at the time of who? Of Nuh, he was a messenger, he was the first messenger that was sent to people after shirk came in the earth. So the point here is what? If you're reading carefully, Naam, Zachariah.
In the text it says that the unborn they were all sent to call people to praise Allah, but at the time of Adam alayhi salam, people weren't.
They were all sent to call people to tawheed of Allah and obedience to Him, uh-huh. At the time of Adam, there was no shirk. Okay, so the point here is what? The main point that I want us to pay attention to is that he said, believing in the messengers, all of them, from the first of them to the last of them. He said the first of them is Nuh, and the last of them is Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he said in the middle of that, he said, and also Adam is from them. So Adam, from the first of them to the last of them, the first of them is Nuh, and Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the last of them. How did Adam get in from the first to the last? Adam is before Nuh. But then he put in there, he said, and Adam is from amongst them. And his explanation is because he was sent to his offspring. Because he was sent to his offspring. And then he gives a little more explanation, but that's the key. He's saying that most of the scholars of Sunnah say that Nuh is the first messenger. Khalas, no discussion. And Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz is saying, and Adam is included amongst them. Because he was, in a sense, because he was sent to his messengers. But bottom line is, Nuh is the first of the messengers. That's the general opinion of Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah. But the Shaykh is saying here, and Adam is included amongst them, he was sent to his offspring. Okay, but then he goes on to say, and he comes back to the same topic again, and he gives a little bit more explanation, but I just want us to pay attention and to sometimes a statement that comes from a scholar, a real scholar, not just people who's talking on the internet, on the whatever. Real scholar. We need to pay attention to what they're saying. And we also need to compare what other scholars are saying. Because sometimes something might be more accurate or more weighty or more clear. And we need to pay attention. We don't just say anything that a scholar says, khalas, no discussion, we can't look at it. No, we can look at it. Because why? Because we can see what other scholars said, who are equal. We can see what they said too, and then we compare it. And then we weigh it. And we examine it, because this is our aqidah. This is our foundation. And we want to be clear on what we're saying. We want to understand if somebody's saying something different, why are they saying that? And what is the significance of that? So he says, he goes on to say, وَسَمَّ نُوحًا أَوَّلْ رَسُولًا لِأَنَّهُ, this is what Zachariah said, لِأَنَّهُ أَوَّلُ رَسُولٍ أَرْسَلَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَمَا وَقَى الشِّرْكِ فِيهِمْ وَكَانُوا قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى التَّوْهِيدِ تَبَعًا لِشَرِيَةِ آدَمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامِ ثُمَّ وَقَى الشِّرْكِ فِي قَوْمِ نُوحٍ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ بِسَبَبِ الْغُلُوِ فِي وَدْ وَالسُّوَاعِ وَيَعُوثِ ويعوث ويعوق ونصر. So he says, فأرسل الله نوحا إليهم يدعوهم إلى توحيد الله وينذرهم نقمة الله فلما أصروا ولم يستجيبوا أخذهم الله بالتوفان والغرق نسأل الله العافية. So here Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, he ends by saying that he named Nuh the first of the messengers because لِأَنَّهُ أَوَّلُ رَسُولٍ أَرْسَلَ إِلَى أَهْلَ الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَمَا وَقَعَ الشِّرْكِ فِيهِمْ. So he's called the first messenger because he's the first messenger that Allah sent to the people of the earth after shirk occurred amongst them. And before that, they were on Tawheed, following the Sharia of Adam a.s. And then shirk occurred amongst the people of Nuh a.s. due to their ghulu, exceeding the limits, extremism, exaggeration in these five men, Wad, Wasuwa, Wayaguth, Wayauk, Wanasr. Five men, as is mentioned in the authentic hadith, that they were five men who were righteous men amongst the people of Nuh, and long story short, yani shaitan tricked them into yani honoring these people, making statues of them, building something near their graves, then putting their graves in the center where the people of the center of the people where they congregated at, and then making statues of them, and then later on telling the later generations, you know, your forefathers used to worship them, and then they started worshiping them. And long story short, right? This was a way of shaitan. He tricked the people. Yani they honored somebody who was righteous, and then he had them, after honoring them, worshipping them. In time. Maybe it took centuries. But that's what happens. Yani you start honoring people above yani the level of human beings. You honor them like Allah deserves. Ta'zeemullah. And then those people become yani. In my time they used to call the teenage idol. They used to actually say this man is the idol. They worship him. They call him the teenage idol. They actually say, we worship him, he's an idol. And I guess now they probably have some idols too that they worship in statues and big pictures and all kind of stuff. In people's houses, a whole wall with a picture of a human being, of a singer or athlete or some other nonsense. And the people worship them. And they worship them. Naam. So, yani, that's the Shaykh's explanation. Yani Nuh was called the first messenger because he was the first messenger that was sent to the people of the earth after shirk had appeared in the earth. Before that they were upon Tawheed following the Sharia of Adam. And then shirk occurred amongst the people because of their exaggeration going to the extremes in these five righteous men. So Allah sent Nuh at that point to call them to the Tawheed of Allah and to warn them against the punishment of Allah. So when they persisted yani in their shirk, and they didn't respond, they didn't reply, they didn't answer the call to Tawheed, so Allah yani punished them with the floods and caused them to drown. And the Shaykh says, Nas'alullah al-afiyah. And we ask Allah yani for well-being and protection from that ending of these people who refused to answer the call of Allah, the call of the prophets and messengers, the call to Tawheed, the call to the sunnah, the call to worshipping Allah and believing in Allah the way He commanded us. And some people are stubborn, they're rebellious, they don't want to change. I'm not going to change, this is what I've been upon, this is what I learned, this is how I know it. And they don't want to learn what's right. And then they die upon that. And they earn the wrath of Allah. May Allah save us from stubbornness. Sticking to something the way we learned it wrong. And then if it comes right, then you have to change. Scholars changed their views when knowledge came to them. What about regular people? If they know and they say, oh, I was wrong, then we don't know nothing, so how come we can't be wrong? At present, our hearts have to be open to correction forever until we die. Nobody should imagine that I know I'm upon al-haq. I'm upon the haq. Everybody else is wrong. If anybody says something different, they're wrong, not me. No, anybody could be wrong. A person has to be willing to change. This is one of the sicknesses, disease of the people today. Especially people who claim to be religious. That they think they're the only ones who write. Everybody else, anybody who says something different is wrong. Allah, don't fall into that. If you saw how ugly that is in people, make sure you don't fall into the same thing, because it'd be ugly in you too. Okay, we only have a little bit of time left, so we will get back on point. Ooh, Allahumma sallam, we don't have any time left. We still have a lot. Pardon me tonight, inshallah. Maybe the rain, yani, got me a little bit too comfortable here. I'm not paying attention to the time. Okay, so labas, mashallah. So this is the fifth pillar. هكذا أهل السنة يؤمنون بالعصلي الخامس. And likewise, yani, the people of أهل السنة والجماعة believe in the fifth principle, fifth foundation or fundamental. وهو الإيمان باليوم الآخر. It is having belief in the last day, or it's called the resurrection after death. أهل السنة والجماعة يؤمنون بأن الناس يموتون والجن والإنس وأنهم يبعثون. The Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah believe that the people will die. The jinn and the men will die. And then they will be resurrected. And this iman requires of us then to be thinking about that. That's a reality. We are going to die. Sooner or later. And we are going to be resurrected. We better be thinking about that now, because it will be too late then. A person has to change their, as the imam mentioned earlier, a person has to change their behavior based on their Aqeedah. Or was it in the khutbah today?
No.
Oh, yeah? Okay. You know, I can't remember what happened last week. I can't remember what happened an hour ago. Allahumma sta'an. Allahu Akbar. But I know somebody said that. Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah believe that the people will die, the jinn and the men, and they will be resurrected. Well, ba'ath, yuqal laha. So this ba'ath is called al-ba'ath al-akhir. Yani the final resurrection. ويقال اليوم الأخير, the last day. ويسمى البعث بعد الموت. And it's also called the resurrection after death. All of these expressions or descriptions came in the nusus, يعني in the textual evidences, يعني in the Quran or in the Sunnah. فاليوم الأخير, the last day, this expression came in the text of the Quran. It is mentioned. وجاء في بعض الأحاديث, and in some of the hadith it came described as the resurrection after death. The last day, resurrection after death, all of that came in either the Quran or in the Sunnah, and these are correct descriptions for the same thing. What do they refer to? أهل السنة يؤمنون بأن الناس يموتون الجن والإنس وأنهم يبعثون ويجازون على أعمالهم على أعمالهم خيرها وشرها. So we believe, the Ahlul Sunnah believe, that the people will die, the jinn and the men, and that they will be resurrected, and that they will be recompensed based on their actions, the good of their actions and the evil of their actions. كَمَا بَيَّنَ اللَّهَ ذَلِكَ فِي قَوْلِهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى زَعَمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنْ لَيْ يُبْعَثُوا قُلْ بَلَى وَرَبِّي لَتُبْعَثُنَّ ثُمَّ لَتُنَبَّأُنَّ بِمَا عَمِلْتُمْ وَذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Yani this, believing that the people will die and they will be resurrected and they will be recompensed for their deeds, the good and the evil of them, Allah made this clear in His saying, they, الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, they, the disbelievers, claimed that they will never be resurrected. Say, indeed, by my Rabb, you will be resurrected and you will be informed of what you did, your actions, and that's easy for Allah. You will be informed of what you did, meaning what? And you will be told what you did, and then you will be rewarded. Good for good and evil for evil. And we sometimes focus on the good that we did, and we forgot about the other stuff. Wallah, it's all going to be recorded, nothing will be missing. We better be thinking about our evil deeds. Yani the good is there, don't worry about it. What we need to be worried about is the evil deeds. Because it's easy to remember, I did a good deed, I did this, I did that. And it's easy to forget the other stuff. We don't really want to think about that. But it's not going to go away just because we didn't think about it. It's not going to go away. Allahumma musta'an. This is iman that's critical. This aqeedah in the last day, the day of resurrection, the day of judgment, accounting. لَبُدَّ مِنْ بَعْثَ النَّاسِ وَجَزَائِهِمْ. It is a necessity. There's no escape from it. There has to be a resurrection of the people and they're being rewarded, being recompensed. Good for good and evil for evil. فَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ هُوَ الْبَعْثُ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. So the last day, it is the resurrection after death. The people will be recompensed in it for their deeds. إِنْ خَيْرًا فَخَيْرٌ. Yani, is this correct, Imam? In khayran fa khayran? Or should it be in khayran fa khayrun? Is it okay as it is? Hadri. Wa ana ma adri. Mada nafal al-an? Allahu musta'an. In any case, the meaning was, huh? No. Khayr, barakallahu feekum. So the meaning is, if it was good, our deeds, if they were good, then it will be, the reward will be good. And if our deeds were evil, then the reward will be like. Yani evil for evil. Kama qala ta'ala. Just as Allah the Most High said in Surah Al-Najm, 53rd Surah, 31st Ayah, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى. Yani Allah said, to Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth, so that He will recompense those who did evil based on what they did, their evil deeds. And those He will reward those who did good, yani with goodness, yani with Jannah. So the creation, everything in the creation, لَهُمْ مَوْعِدٌ هُوَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. Everybody has an appointed day, time, and it is the day of resurrection. And if they are given respite in this world, and they die without being punished or called to account, then they will have a maw'id, yani an appointed time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning this in Surah Ibrahim, 14th Surah, 42nd Ayah, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Yani don't think, don't imagine that Allah is unaware of what the ظَالِمُونَ, the wrongdoers, are doing. Don't imagine that the murder and slaughter of Muslims, any place in the earth, don't imagine, because it's been going on for 30 days or 40 days or 60 days, don't imagine Allah is unaware. Don't think that this they got away. The Sheikh just got finished saying what? He just got finished saying that the people, they will be rewarded, good for good and evil for evil. Yani it's a necessity that the people be resurrected and that they be rewarded. And if a person dies and they were not called to account, then there's this appointed day. Even if they died and they didn't get caught by the police, or they didn't get caught by the world, they have that world court or something like that, where they're supposed to take the international criminals, like those Yahudis, and other criminals, Americans along with them, war criminals, all of them together. That's a fact. Ain't no denying it. Nobody can deny it, except a fool. You have family's donkey, as Sheikh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said. Dumber than the family's donkey. Even if they get away, and they die, they didn't get away. Because there's the appointed day where people will be called to account. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't think that Allah is unaware of what the ظالمون, the wrongdoers, are doing. إِنَّمَا يَأْخِرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ. Indeed, it is only that Allah is delaying them to the day in which the eyes will be staring in horror at the punishment that awaits them. وَهُوَ يَوْمْ وَهُوَ يعني this is, he said, وَهُوَ يَوْمْ الْقِيَامَةِ, the day of resurrection, when the dead will be resurrected. We're going to close with this lengthy overtime. I'm sorry, please forgive me. يعني Allah will not be merciful to those who are not merciful to the people. So if you don't have mercy on me, maybe Allah is not going to have mercy on you. Allah musta'an. I'm sorry, I don't normally do this, but I just want to finish this, because we're going to go to the next chapter next week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Al-Rukn al-Sadis al-Qadr. I'm going to go through it quickly, inshallah. The sixth pillar is Qadr, and we're going to deal with this in the end of the book in a little bit more detail. So we'll just go through here quickly. Yani, Al-Rukn al-Sadis al-Qadr. The sixth pillar of Iman, or the sixth asal of the usul of Iman, is al-Iman bil-Qadr. Believing in the divine decree, that Allah had decreed everything before He created the human beings. A decree that is from before, sabiq, and He decreed it before. And this is as it came in the hadith in Sahih Muslim from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhuma. May Allah be pleased with both of them. That is Abdullah and his father, Amr ibn al-As. May Allah be pleased with both of them. He narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدَرَ مَقَادِلَ الْخَلَائِقِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِخَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ قَالَ وَعَشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. Yani that indeed, certainly, surely Allah decreed the decrees. Yani he, in one of the narrations he mentioned, in, I think it's in the footnote, in the narration in Sahih Muslim, قَدَرَ مَقَادِلَ كَتَبَ. Yani Allah wrote yani the decrees for the whole, all of the creation before He created the heavens and the earth. 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth. And He said, وَعَرَشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ and His arsh was upon the water. This hadith is mentioned in Sahih Muslim and in one of the narrations, instead of Qadra, it says Kataba. Then he mentions some evidences from the Quran. He mentions first from Surah Al-Qamar, which is 54th Surah, 49th ayat. Inna kulla shayin khalaqanahu biqadr. Everything we have created it with a qadr. Yani what Allah pre-decreed, He fixed to be a certain way. Waqala ta'ala, and Allah also said in Surah Al-Hadid, 57th Surah, 22nd and 23rd ayat. ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها إن ذلك على الله يسير. That there is nothing that afflicts. ما أصاب من مصيبة. There is nothing that befalls anyone in the earth or in yourselves except it's in a book. يعني already written down before we bring it into being, and that is easy for Allah. لكي لا تأسوا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما آتاكم والله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. And this is so that a person will not be sad over something that passed them by, and they will not rejoice over what they have been given. Yani, so a person knows that everything is pre-decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't get proud because you have something more than other people. And don't be sad if you missed out on something. It's okay. It's what Allah decreed. Be pleased with what Allah has decreed. Be pleased with what Allah has decreed. It's very important. This is part of our iman, that we are pleased with what Allah has decreed. It's part of the rububiyyah of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ used to say, Raditu billahi rabban. I am pleased with Allah as my Rabb, and that includes being pleased with whatever He decreed for me, even if it's poverty, even if it's sickness, whatever it might be. Because Allah doesn't decree a decree for the believer except that it's good for them, if they are patient and if they are grateful. As shukr or sabr. Or sabr or shukr, either way. He said, so the person, and Allah indeed, He doesn't love the prideful boasters. Allah doesn't love people who are yani proud and who boast. Then he says, قَدَرٌ سَابِقٌ ثَابِتٌ مَكْتُوبٌ. It is a decree that is from before, and it is confirmed, established, and it is written out. Yani it's written, yani recorded, written. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى, as Allah says in Surah Al-Hajj, 22nd Surah, 70th ayat, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ فِي كِتَابٍ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. يعني didn't you know that Allah, He knows what is in the heavens and the earth? Indeed, this is in a book, in a record, already recorded. Indeed, this is easy for Allah. This is easy for Allah. In these ayats we have the mention, and in this hadith we have the mention of kitabah, the writing of what is going to happen. And we also have mention of the khalq, yani, that Allah mentions. It's all in a book, min qabla an nabra'aha, before we bring it into existence, if Allah creates it. And we also have ilm in this last ayat, at alam ta'alam anna Allah ya'alam ma fi as-samawati wal ard, ma fi as-sama'i wal ard. So the knowledge and the writing and the creation, and the thing that's not mentioned here is the Mashiach. So the levels of yani qadr include knowledge that Allah knows everything before it happens, kitaba that He had it, He wrote it, al-mashiyah that nothing happens except by the will of Allah. Whether it's good or bad or whatever, however it is, it's all from the will of Allah. Wal-khalq, and Allah is the only creator. There's no creator of good and a separate creator of evil. Allah is the creator of everything. There's only one creator. These are the four levels that we're going to discuss in the end of the book. And the Shaykh closes by saying, فَأَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدَّرَ الْأَشْيَاءَ وكتبها قبل خلق الناس وقبل وجود الناس بخمسين ألف سنة بل قبل خلق الخلائق كلها قبل خلق السماوات بخمسين ألف سنة وكان عرشه على الماء فسبحانه تعالى فهذه الأركان الستة هي أصول الإيمان عند أهل السنة والجماعة. He said that أهل السنة والجماعة believe that Allah decreed everything. He wrote it. Allah decreed it. قدر الأشياء وَكَتَبَهَا. He, Allah, wrote it down before He created the people, before the existence of the people by 50,000 years, rather before the creation of everything in the creation, before anything was created, all of it, 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens, Allah already decreed and wrote, and His arsh was upon the water. فَالسُّبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, yani Allah is the one who is free of imperfections and He is the Most High. He said these are, yani هَذِهِ الْأَرْكَانِ السِّتَّةِ, these six pillars, they are the usul of iman. These arkan sitta, they are the usul of iman according to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. We're going to stop here. If anybody has any comment or any question or any correction, inshallah we'll take it after everybody is dismissed, and whoever wants to stay may stay. We have some refreshments, and if there, نعم, we have some refreshments. It's something, I don't know what we have. بارك الله فيكم وجزاكم الله خيرا.